Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyRockWest.com, though pretty rather venerable, TheOutdoorLine.com, with blogs, podcasts, so very, very much more. How you doing there, Joey?
Good.
Joey Pyburn, Ray's Bates, fresh from getting his bear in the Cascades. Rob Ensley with caribou breath from last night, right? You had a little caribou on a grill last night?
Yeah, it was good, man. Some tenderloins, a little backstrap action there. I was pleasantly surprised how that tasty that critter was, so.
And I won't ask what Kevin John Holiday Sports had for dinner, but it could be a nice fresh San Juan Island coho. Good morning, Kevin John of Holiday Sports. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, you tell me, man. I mean, there's a whole lot going on up in your neck of the woods, whether it be freshwater, saltwater, and some upcoming pheasant releases and waterfowl season. And I mean, there's going to be a whole lot of North End action happening soon, Kevin John.
Well, for sure, we got tons of stuff going. We still got Area 7 still open for coho through the end of September, and the Bellingham Bay fishery also continues through the end of September. And that west side fishery has just been on fire. You know, it's one of the first places that we see fish, you know, headed for, you know, the Skagit, the Nooksack, the Fraser, and most of those systems down south kind of touch. And I mean, that's been a really consistent fishery. You know, the charter guys are all running outside. Nobody's fishing inside at all because it's just such a big deal out there. We got lots and lots of guys doing that one. And it's been really consistent for some larger fish. Early on, you know, we were seeing, you know, 8 and 9 pound fish, which was great then, but now we're seeing, a number of fish in that 12 to 15 pound range, which is really, really cool to see because that's certainly not what we've run into the last couple of years. Like you guys touched on earlier, you know, the white squids have certainly been the ticket this year to this point in ace high flies. But we see a lot of guys fishing the green squids, or personally, I really like blue and silver stuff with a whole little anchovy stuffed up inside that one. Run them on a real short leader. 20 to 26 inches would kind of be my thing personally. And I know Joe likes hearing this one. I really like running bait. And a stripped bait, take a blue label herring, strip that thing off, put that in a helmet and just tow like hell. You can get rid of the flasher that way. It looks totally different than any of the cut plugs or whole rigs anybody else is doing. I mean, that is a blast to catch a fish on those things. So that would kind of be my vote personally if I was headed out that direction.
Yeah, and then I can afford to go hunting.
There you go.
Buy some bait.
What kind of hood you running them in, Kevin?
Well, I mean, for those strip baits, I'm using the Reese Davis large teasers. The UV purple has always been a hot one. If the sun ever comes out again, I'd tell you to go to something chrome, and I'd probably start off with something going on their arc first thing in the morning. But that UV stuff has been, you know, really, really popular. So either the UV purple or UV green, I would feel really comfortable running. And then, once you bonk those things, you can take that carcass and go stuff them in a crab pot because we're still crabbing here through the end of the month. Of course, the winter card started back on the 8th. Here's your reminder to report your summer catch so you don't get dinged. And then we'll likely see those seasons extended in, you know, most of the North End, it sounds like. Skagit, like Rob was saying, has been pretty consistent. This last week, we were certainly fighting conditions a bit. Those warm days would put a whole bunch of, you know, glacial till coming out of the socks. Everything below that would get pretty dirty by, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. So those guys above that, we're having some pretty consistent fishing. I mean, I know a couple of boats that, you know, played with 30 or 40 fish a day, twitching jigs. That was an assortment of, you know, Kings and coho both. So we certainly have fish all the way up the system. And the Cascade just opened here a couple of days ago. So I would imagine that's going to light up this weekend here, with the rain that we saw this overnight. As far as down on this end of the river, I talked to a couple guys like fishing below Avon here, which is kind of like lower Burlington area. And early in the week, they had, some of their best days so far, for some better fish, 12, 13 pound fish. Most of those guys are plunking, you know, lightweight spoons or spinners, you know, right up tight to the bank. When we get up here into Burlington, we certainly see a lot more guys start, you know, plunking bait off of the banks. And if you're going to be a boat guy, you know, twitching jigs and throwing spinners up into the snags is an awesome way to do it. Plugs have been real productive. You know, we got lots and lots of guys coming in looking for that stuff every day. You know, but it has been a little bit slower in Burlington here, just kind of because of the conditions and a little bit lower waters. Of course, we've seen some of that come up. You know, really above nine, you know, to Gilligan, those guys have really just been pounding that with plugs and spinners, and that's been pretty consistent. And once you hit Lyman, we see a lot more guys starting to fish bait, and then really switch over to the twitching jigs. You know, you get some deeper holes, some slower water stuff up there where those things will hold up in the snags, and that's a really fun way to go beat on them. You know, I'd have a really hard time not going further upriver and, you know, bobber dogging eggs. You know, that's a pretty effective route to go. You know, and then have a twitching rod and a spinner set up ready to go when I see something, you know, tucked up tight to the bank.
What you know, size and color patterns of jigs are you sending guys up to the creek with, Kevin?
Well, it kind of depends on our water conditions. You know, it kind of go back to like looking at your steelhead stuff. Like you're supposed to have two of everything, right? I want to have some bright stuff and I want to have some dark stuff. And I want to have something kind of off the wall. So, you know, straight black or like black and purple, we'll see a lot of guys run, especially when the water's dirtier. You know, you take a glass of milk and you put a Oreo cookie in it. You can see the black side. You can't see the white side. Same thing goes there. So if it's a real dirty colored up water, I would certainly be running a darker color. So, you know, purples, blacks or deep blues. You know, the two you're going to see in my box most of the time are, you know, like black and chartreuse or, you know, black and cerise. Probably followed up by a cerise and chartreuse pattern. Those are kind of like my top go-tos. When you get into the clearer water, you'll see some guys go to the lighter, like 3/8 ounce stuff. That nightmare jig has been pretty popular in some of the peach colors or lighter oranges. And, you know, any of that stuff you can tip with a sand shrimp tail works really well. You got to be careful putting scent on that stuff because it'll really mat down the feathers. So, like Procure's water soluble scents and, you know, shrimp or sand shrimp, or like a gel or a paste just on the head of that thing can really, help to set your gear apart from your buddies.
Hey, so Kevin, I just kind of was introduced to twitching, up there fishing Kings earlier this summer. And so mm-hmm. when guys are twitching for coho, are they tipping that jig also like with bait?
Yeah, I always do if I can get away with it, especially if I can find some small sand shrimp. That's really the ticket on that. But tipping it is really helpful, particularly in the dirtier water that you end up seeing. But you see so many guys that aren't tipping stuff that, you know, being the one guy that's spending the extra time to do it can really set you apart. You know, that's how I had always started catching to start with. And you go out with some buddies who, you know, don't bring bait and you just feel like you're undergunned and you're not as productive as you're supposed to.
I don't know why anybody would go out without bait.
That doesn't happen with Joey anymore.
Get some 18 count shrimp tails or shrimp, yep. You know, and then you pinch the tail off and you run them so that the shell is up. If you run it so the soft part of the belly is up on that tail, when you're twitching, it pulls it right through the shrimp and you'll lose it nonstop. But rig it almost backwards at what you think you should rig it, so that shell, the hook is pointed up through the shell of the tail. And Kevin's right. You'll really hook a lot more fish doing that. I would usually, when I was guiding up there, I would go with no bait. And if they weren't biting, I would always have the bait as a backup, and I'd start throwing bait on there to get them going. But if you got that shrimp tail on there, they'll hit it almost every time. So now, Kevin, you're at the shop, man. What kind of hunting gear are you seeing flying out of there these days? You know, you're at Skagit Arms and right there at Holiday Sports, and you've got your finger on the pulse of all the new gear coming out. Are you seeing any new hunting gear that's pretty popular these days that guys are picking up?
All of it.
Yeah.
You know, everything's starting, right? Mm-hmm. So with that youth pheasant hunt, you know, we've been seeing lots of kids coming in buying, you know, waterproof pants and orange vests for sure. You know, up here they're planting Samish for both the old guys and the youth hunt again this year. Mm-hmm. But it won't be planted for the general, so that's another little piece of info to have. As far as, you know, new stuff and kind of hot stuff, you know, we are going through footwear like crazy. You know, we do, you know, Kenetrek and Danner, and a lot of crispy stuff. A couple of those boots redesigned for this year, the Idaho and the Thor. They're more durable and they're more breathable, and they have been really popular with all those high hunts going this last week. The last couple of 3 weeks have been really popular with all that stuff coming in through, you know, new insoles and new boots and trying to get those things broke in. If you're not looking for a new pair of boots, come in and clean up your boots and put new laces in them and make sure those things are all, gooed up with everything they need to be so that they're going to be waterproof when you do get in the field. Packs have been real popular, especially with this high hunt thing going on. We do a lot of the Mystery Ranch stuff, some Everly stock, and of course all the Sitka packs, and they came out with a new 4,000 size and this year, which has been real popular. So it's not just a big gigantic load carrier. Freeze dried foods, real hard to find everywhere. We're sitting on a really good stock. So, Mountain House, Backpacker's Pantry, of course, but we're also doing Off-Grid and Heather's Choice, so you get some variety to your diet there. Put a little bison or some smoked salmon chowder in there, and you're ready to roll. Now's time to pick up a new hunting rifle. We're already into bear season, but we're just about a month away here from our general hunt. So, Browning came out with some pretty cool guns this year, as did Tika, and then. My mind's already going towards the duck side of things. So, the Breda A400s, that's a pretty cool gun. Sitting pretty good on a bunch of Benelli stuff right now, too. Of course, I'm a Browning guy. I like my gas-operated guns, so it'd be hard for me to walk by one of those, one of the new Wicked Wing Maxuses or an A5.
Yeah, that's what we're going
to
be.
Time to get that ammo.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, that's the question I had. So how are you guys sitting on ammo? Because I'm getting... some texts from a lot of my buddies who are having a hard time finding stuff. Should they be running in there and buying shotgun shells now for the season, stocking up? How are stocks of ammo?
I would certainly jump on them while you can. Yeah. We're sitting pretty good on a whole bunch of the camp, which is, one of my preferences, and some of the, heavy metal shots and things like that. And that's great because these couple of companies are, shotgun only, so hopefully we'll be able to keep up on it. But when we start looking at a lot of the other manufacturers, their, production isn't necessarily staying on the wings shooting side of things. So, I would encourage you to get out there and grab what you want now so you've got it for the season for sure.
And rifle ammo is impossible. If it's on the shelf, buy all of it. Wipe the thing out because you won't find it a week from now. Somebody else will come in and wipe it out right after you walk out of the store. So most of the shelves, I don't know what you guys are looking like up there, but a lot of the shelves are pretty bare at most of the stores around. So you see some ammo, especially that 6.5.
Flying out the door as quick as we get it in, that's for sure.
Oh. What about 6.5 PRC? Tom even called me yesterday to see if I had any. That stuff's like impossible to find, right?
Well, I think they're only making two loads in that one right now, I think. So it's really tough to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt about it. Well, Kevin, John, we appreciate your time this morning, man. Thanks for all the great info. If you get a clue what's going to happen on the waterfowl front, the last year the snow goose flights have kind of been increasing. I'm hearing some good stuff there. So we'll keep your ear to the ground if you get any numbers of that anticipated flight. We appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk to you soon. Kevin, John,
Holiday Kevin.
Sports.
See you, buddy.
Later, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
Kevin John at Holiday Sports in Burlington was just on the show, and he's reporting good fishing for silvers in the Skagit River. Kevin said the lower river is starting to fish better now that the weather's cooled off a bit. It was mostly using Vibrex spinners and wiggle warts on the lower river to get those silvers to bite. Kevin said the upper river above Rockport's also fishing really well right now, and twitching jigs is a way to get those silvers to bite up there on the salt water. Said the silver action is still great off the west side of San Juan Island at Salmon Bank and Pile Point. Silvers are in the middle of the water, call them out there, and folks are getting them with hoochies or whole herring. He said to keep your speed up and cover as much water as possible.
Silver's stacking up at Shill Shoal. Nikki Kester of All-Star Charters is doing well on coho salmon at Shill Shoal last couple of weeks. He said he's getting limits on both days before noon. Go-to setup has been a white Gibbs flash with a white and glow hoochie behind it. Kester's getting most of his fish at 30 to 60 feet on the downrigger wire and keeps his trolling speed up around 3 miles an hour.
David Dietrich from Adventure Angling in Tacoma has been having great luck fly fishing for silvers in the deep South Sound lately. David said he's finding anywhere from 3 to 4 silvers a day to double-digit hookups fly fishing the beaches. He's been setting up his boat in 15 to 20 feet of water and casting into the beach with flashy attractor patterns to catch coho. David has also been catching plenty of chunky C-run cutthroat while targeting the silvers. He says the average size of the silvers is 3 to 6 pounds, but on a 5-weight fly rod, they're having a blast with them. We'll have David on the show just after the break to run through his South Sound coho fishing program.
Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is hoping to trap a cougar that's on the loose in my backyard in South Kitsap County. The big cat killed a donkey, may have also killed a couple of goats in the area the previous week. The donkey was definitely killed by the cougar, though, with the strangulation wounds to prove it. The cougar returned to a trap set by WDFW but didn't enter the trap. If anyone in the area of Bandix Road near the Kitsap and Pierce County line spots the cougar, they are asked to call 911 immediately.
WDFW just announced 39 days of razor clam digs on the coast. So the first of the digs happening right now. Morning razor clam digs just started on the coast on Wednesday. We'll run through today with low tide happening this morning at 8:20. Digging will also be open tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday on the coastal beaches, and those are all late evening digs. Be sure to check the WDFW website to see what beaches are open each day of the dig. The next tentative round of jigs is scheduled for October 16th through the 21st.
Joe Roeder from Red's Fly Shop in the Yakima River Canyon said the river is in prime shape right now with low flows and light pressure. Joe said the October caddis is just starting to come off in the evenings, and with little pressure on the river, the bite has been excellent. Red's has chukar ready for release next week, and their sporting clays range will open up next week also.
Fishery managers decided this week that the Columbia River would reopen for Chinook and coho salmon today for buoy 10 at the mouth of the river all the way up to the Highway 395 bridge in Pasco. The river is scheduled to open up again on September 23rd, but with in-season forecasts for Chinook salmon on the Columbia is well above what managers thought they were going to have hit the river, so they opted to reopen the river 4 days earlier than planned. Anglers can keep 2 salmon a day, only one of which can be a Chinook. Only Hatchard coho can be retained below the Hood River Bridge.
Vernita heating up for coho for Chinook salmon. As of Sunday, over 258,000 Chinook had streamed over Bonneville Dam compared to only 156,000 last year. This is great news for folks fishing the Vernita Reach of the Columbia River, as many of these chunky king salmon are headed for the last free-flowing stretch of the river. Guide Austin Mosier said fishing's been good so far on the reach and it's still a little early on the run. He said when the flows have been up, he's been back trolling jet divers with eggs. He's also been getting them in flashers and super baits and also back in quick fish. It just depends on what the water's doing that day. Austin said the flows have been crazy with no flow on some days and then the water high and fast on others. It's best to be ready for anything. The Bernita Stretch fishes well for upriver brights until it closes on October 15th.
There's a rare sturgeon opener today on the lower Columbia River. Anglers are able to keep white sturgeon between 44 and 50 inches with an annual possession limit of 2. With the Columbia River opening today from buoy 10 to Pasco for salmon, anglers have a rare opportunity to keep both sturgeon and salmon in the same day.
Archery elk season opened up on September 12th. It runs through this coming Thursday, the 24th. Smoke, closed highways, and fire hazard has kept quite a few archery hunters out of the woods so far, but with westerly winds and some rain in the forecast, the remainder of the archery season is looking a lot better for hunters. Muzzleloader season is up next and runs from October 3rd through the 9th on both the east and west side of the mountains.
WDFW offers to reinstate points to hunters impacted by fires. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife just announced it will reinstate preference points to hunters that drew special permits that are affected by the fires. Deer and elk seasons have been substantially impacted by the current fire situation in Washington, and the department wants to give folks the opportunity to restore their special permit application points. If your season is open before September 26th, you've got until the 25th to return your permit. Your letter must be postmarked on or before that date. If your hunt is between September 26th and October 10th, then your letter needs to be postmarked no later than the day before your season is scheduled to open.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
Man, I talked to Austin Mosier. I called Austin Mosier yesterday. He was on Vernita Reach, and I got him a good cell phone bite going. He hadn't caught anything until I called him, and then he missed two. And then, oh, God, we got another one. I mean, literally in the span of like 3 minutes, he had 3 bites there, and finally he got one about 10, 12 pounds. Sounds like it's pretty good over there, man, on the reach. They got a good next 3 weeks coming up there. The fish are pouring over McNary Dam right now. And that stretch between McNary and Priest Rapids, it's going to be really good there the next 3 weeks till it closes on the 15th. So
well over 100,000 more fish this year than last year gone over Bonneville. Yeah. And they're not even done counting yet. I know how fired up he can get because I saw him for the first time in Sitka this year. He'd never been there before. So Southeast Alaska made a mark in that boy for sure. And then, if we got some forest fires burning up some land, at least folks aren't going to burn up their preference points on those hunts. WDFW stepping up and let these guys, get a refund. And for those that don't know, we have opportunities you can apply for in addition to regular fall hunts. And so the points we're talking about is if you go in the regulations and put in for a fall hunt, and generally the application deadline is what, third week of May or something like that, Joey,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go in and you look at these hunts in an area that you're interested in, you don't necessarily get an extra animal, but you get extra opportunity. If you put in for these hunts and don't get drawn, you get preference points. So the chances of you getting drawn subsequent years are better. So the hunt that I got drawn for this fall, I only had 18 points built up.
Right? Yeah.
So I've been putting in for it for 18 years, dude. So, I mean, a lot of guys, they have so much time invested in these. I mean, they don't want to just burn their points in a season that, their area has been burned up by a fire. So WDFW definitely stepping up, doing the right thing.
Well, and there's areas that are closed.
Oh, yeah. Like,
guys just
can't go. Yeah.
They can't go. So, yeah, when you invest 18 or whatever, 5,
yeah, five
18,
six, whatever.
20
yeah.
years to get a hunt, and then the fire keeps you from going in there, they got to give you your points back.
What's the skies look like in the South Sound right now, Robbo? You guys
looking pretty
clear
good. Out? Yeah, I got a pretty good view out of the house here. Yeah, clearing up a little bit.
The air's not so thick. You couldn't cast a fly through it today.
I think David Dietrich's probably tied into one right now. We might want to get a cell phone bike going with him here up here.
Did your girls build a cougar trap? They fashioned some type of cougar trap in
well,
the backyard.
Well,
it's
funny. They went and fed our friend's cows just down the road yesterday and walked their dog and stuff. And it's right where the cat is. Trust me, if that cat sets one toenail on that property, he's not going to have a good day.
Just so guys know, it's open.
Get
a cougar tag down there.
Yeah, and our friend, they've got livestock, they got calves, they got stuff running around down there, and cougar is not going to be welcome on that property. Yeah, he's ready with spotlights and AR-15s and all kinds of stuff for the cat to show up, but yeah. Welcome to South Kitsap County.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, calling an airstrike from Lewis McCord. Question about it. All right, David Dietrich, adventure-angling.com, South Sound Cutthroat, coming at you next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Joe Pyburn, Rob Ansley coming at us from the South Sound. He's back from Southeast Alaska in the Arctic Circle with caribou fur in his teeth right there. if there is an untouched gem in the Puget Sound region, it's the opportunity we have for fly fishing a lot of the beaches. I mean, we don't have a single body or a single shoreline in the region, obviously, that's bigger than the Puget Sound. And so it gives us some unique opportunities in a lot of different areas. And one of the guys that has this program absolutely dialed in is David Dietrich of adventure-angling.com. Good morning, David. How you doing? Long time. We haven't had you on the show in a while.
Morning, Dave.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Going good. What are you doing? You're out there. You've got a guest, I would imagine, on the front deck of your fly fishing rig there, pitching flies into the shallows somewhere. What are you seeing so far this morning, buddy?
Yeah, we just pulled up to our first spot, got two anglers this morning. We are hoping to see some coho here in a few minutes.
So what is the program down there, man? Are you chasing cutties and then incidentally catching cohos, or are you targeting cohos down there in the deep South Sound right now, buddy?
Well, when we head out for a day, we're cutthroat fishing in our minds, right? That's the expectation. But right now and for the next 3 weeks or so, we are purposefully spending time each day targeting and finding coho.
And are you finding
it's a win-win?
You're probably finding coho and cutthroat in similar spots, right?
Yeah, finding them in similar water, finding them in the same spots, different water, as you would expect. We're looking for real clear, calm, glassy water for the coho, and we're putting the boat in moving water for the cutties. And the best spots, as you can imagine, are those nice rips that have both a slow-moving back eddy that's nice and clear water. This sounds silly, but if I can, I'm trying to find rips and stuff right now in the fall that don't have a lot of leaves on the surface.
Yeah.
It seems to distract the fish, and fly fishing so visual, you know, that when I find clear water – here, hold on, you guys. Let me grab it. When I find clear water and no debris on the surface, it's fish happy time.
That's classic. And so, I honestly, I have never gone after coho with a fly rod. And it just seems the massive challenge would be obviously getting down to some level of the water column that you could feel confident encountering some coho. I mean, coho are more surface oriented than most of the salmon that we end up targeting at certain times of the year, David. But what are you looking for with regard to a fly and what weight of fly line are you using? How do you approach this?
Yeah. Okay. So it's a little bit different. We are fishing, you know, we're catching them in a foot of water. We're catching
wow.
coho, you know, 3 to 6, 7 pound coho in 1 to 5 feet of water. That's what we're normally doing. Sometimes we'll catch them out deep. Deep for us is 10, 15 feet. If we call
gotcha.
That deep.
Gotcha.
But what our flies right now, for this year, there are so many bait fish in the South Sound. It's just a menagerie of bait fish. So everything I'm throwing, not everything, but most of what I'm throwing is just flashy stuff. Real undulating, not even bait fish patterns. Just imagine like an all flashy squid kind of a thing. It doesn't need to be, I'm not trying to match the hatch or anything. I'm just looking to put my boat in the path of the coho coming back down to the South Sound. And when they're not pressured, and they're not pressured down here in 11 and 13, they swim on the beaches. And we're seeing, you know, it's real common to see pods of coho, 3 to a dozen, cruising the beaches, chasing our flies. So I'm just looking for rips that are kicking off the beaches, looking for good structure, looking for quiet, clear water where there are no boats fishing.
Hmm. Yeah, I was gonna ask you, you know, the South Sound is a huge area without giving out GPS coordinates.
Oh,
is there
fine.
Some
yeah. you
I
know,
mean
yeah.
you know, rips, little points. I mean, is there some like beach structure you're looking for? Are you looking for big boulders on the beach somewhere and a lot of heavy structure with some
well,
timber and stuff
cutty,
in the water? What are you looking for, man?
For cutthroat, yeah, we're looking for structure. A really good indication of a presence of cutthroat, and this is might sound silly, but it's great, are the presence of barnacles. If the mm-hmm. beach is coated with barnacles, it usually has a healthy enough, the water's clean, it's got good flow, it's got good foundation for a little ecosystem there, and the cutthroat will feed. For coho, no. I'm looking for, it's about the time of year and the water. You know, for cutthroat, it's about the bottom. For coho, it's about the water. We're using 5 weights. We're using full sinking lines, right, with flies that are 2 to 4 inches long. And we're looking for the right water because the coho don't live here. Even the resis aren't living on the beach. They feed on the beach or they migrate on the beach. So we're looking for water that they're going to, that's along their path, that's going to cause them to move. If I'm a coho and I'm cruising up and down this, if I'm migrating up this shoreline, let's say the Tacoma Narrows, I'm going through the Narrows and I come to a current seam, it presents a choice for me. Am I going to rest here? Am I going to push on? And that choice causes fish to delay a moment. So we fish those seams in the path that cause fish to delay and you find fish there. You know, does that make sense?
So mm-hmm. David, For those folks out there who've never hooked into a 6 pound coho on a 5 weight fly rod, try to explain what that's like.
It's that terrible feeling of yes and oh no. Because our reels have no drag. So it's, you know, until it's in the net, it can be somewhat nerve wracking.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, that's fun.
They
man.
Run a lot. And you know, for guys who do or don't fly fish, it's not common to have a lot of fish around here that pull the line off the reel and put you in the backing. Mm-hmm. And to be able to be in the middle of Western Washington, we're going to be fishing all day. We won't have a single person out here with us. It'll be all ours all day, every day. And to have fish that pull you into the backing is a special thing, you know, an hour away from your doorstep.
How far do you got to cast? You got to have guys that can cast, you know, 60, 70 feet to get these things.
That is the barrier of success.
Yeah.
The further one can cast, the more fish you're going to present to, and as a result, you're just going to catch more fish if you can cast farther.
So the two guys in the boat this morning, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are they fishing for you this morning now? How are they doing?
That is a very dangerous question.
I know.
It's looking good. It's very promising.
Oh, good. Awesome.
Yeah, good.
Awesome.
And, you know, the current is just starting to rip. We're right at the end of high stand. The current's starting to flow. And the next few minutes here, we're going to land a fly on the side. We're going to start hooking fish.
Perfect. We're talking with David Dietrich of adventure-angling.com, and he's not taking the bait. Ensley's trying to get him to bag on his clients, and he won't do it. It's very respectable, Dave. Proud of you. And it is just after high slack at Tacoma Narrows Bridge. So if you're going to design a tide for me, if you're going to design a current, high slack seems like a great time to pull this program off that you're talking about right now, man.
Yeah. You know, you want to be at the end of slack. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're fishing the ebb or the flood, you want to fish for coho and cutthroat in that 6 hour chunk of moving water. And if it's over a 12 foot tide, if the larger tide of the day is over 12 feet, target the smaller one. If it's under 12 feet, target the larger tide. Because the tide especially the cutthroat, is the most dominant force in their life. More than the sun and the moon, it's the tide. And they know, as much as a fish can know something, you know, they know what's coming with the tides. They kind of sort of feel it. So I am looking to always start at the right after stand or right after slack. And I'm, you know, I just tell my clients, you know, you're going to eat on the go. We're going to fish 6 straight hours, no break. You are kind of fishing on the clock, you know. Though that hour in between moving water high and low or low and high is kind of a waste. Not always, but it's nothing like what it is when the tide is moving. Nothing at all like that. So, for those reasons, just like today, we usually start 20, 30 minutes right before stand and get to where we're going, and right at the beginning of the tide, when the biggest fish are the most comfortable, is when the party starts, you know? Hmm. That's the name of the game.
I like a guy who tells his clients, you are going to fish for 6 hours.
You're going to cast for 70 feet, and you're going to fish for 6 hours.
And you'll eat when I tell you to eat.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if you're tired. Yeah. I do have a couple of dates open. I have September 26th and October 2nd open. I mean, I have other dates open, but those are both prime tides, and we will be hooking fish those days.
And is this the best time of year for sea run cutties too? This is like prime time from now through October, isn't it? Isn't it, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, it is. I hate saying this because it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Oh, you got one? Strip. Yeah, that's a fish. You got one. Come on.
We got a radio fish.
Yeah.
You're so polite. Why are you so polite? I would be like, come on, man. Reel it in. Let's go. Come on.
He was a little guy.
That's all right. Fish is a fish, man. We'll take it.
So there'd be a difference between.
The big ones start small. So that was actually a big fish. He's going to be big later.
That's okay. Getting a radio fish is one thing. One thing we've never had is a client is a guide come unglued at a client on air. I think that should be our new goal, yeah, to have just a full on
full on meltdown.
I'm the only one working. I've never had a full on meltdown.
Oh, we have. Trust me, we've had guys yell at us. Let me tell you, because you know, we get a flock of 40 honkers in the Deeks, and we miss all of them. You're going to get some screaming and yelling at us when we're out hunting.
I get that, but you know, I'm a client too. So I'm not trying to get yelled at either.
There we go. He's David Dietrich. Check out adventure-angling.com. Thanks, David. We appreciate your time this morning. Now get after, yell at those clients, will you? Come on now.
Yeah. Next time, come on, guys.
We want some Vince Lombardi meltdown football coach.
All right,
stuff,
buddy.
Next time,
so. Hey,
all
thanks right, for coming on, man. I know you're gonna have a great time out there today, and we'll get out fishing here one of these days, man. It's so fun fishing those beaches, dude. It's just a blast.
Yeah, it is a blast. And I will say, with my website, I'm rebuilding it, and I'm a fisherman, so I'm spending most of my time fishing. So give me a few more weeks, and the website will be a backup. My email works great. I got the 22nd and the 2nd, 26th of September, the 2nd of October open.
Yeah.
And like you said, right now is an awesome, awesome time for cutties.
Yeah, man. Sounds awesome.
Are you okay with us giving out your cell phone on air?
Yeah, go ahead. 282-253-282-4570.
253-282-4570. That's David Dietrich, Adventure Angling, South Sound Cutties. David, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, buddy.
Yeah,
see you, brother.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See
you. Have fun, man.
Yeah.
Go get them.
All right, man. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really? Where?
He's coming back from the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turned red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
Head up to Roy Robinson Chevrolet just off the Marysville Tulalip exit. Check out that 2020 all-new Chevy Silverado 1500. You'll get $5,000 cash back allowance. Or head a little farther north to Roy Robinson RV just off Smoky Point Boulevard. Two great locations, one tremendous business that's been with us for over 50 years. Roy Robinson Chevy, RoyRobinsonRV.com. All right, what do you got, Robbo?
Boy, I think you got to hit the salt water. You know, we've just got, 11 days left, something like that, 12 days left in the month. And then most of the saltwater stuff's going to be closed down the rest of winter. I think you got to get out there, hit the outside of San Juan Island, hit Shill Shoal for some of these silvers coming around the corner. Those are the two best bites I heard yesterday calling around, talking to folks. That San Juan Island bite's been just red hot. We just had Kevin John on from Holiday Sports up in Burlington talking about it. They're just roping cohos up there. And then talked to Kester yesterday, too, All-Star Charters. That Shill Shoal area has been pretty consistent. The cohos are stacking up there out in front of the locks before they head up into Lake Washington and whatnot. And it's been pretty darn good for those folks trolling around out there at Shill Shoal. So I would hit those two areas just because it's kind of your last chance here to get some saltwater fishing in outside of Area 13. Area 13 will stay open for the rest of winter. So a guy like David Dietrich's going to have a ball down there this winter. He'll stay working for the winter. But the rest of us folks, it's going to be a long, cold winter with no saltwater fishing on the rest of the Sound. So get out and hit those spots. Troll your hoochies around, your purple haze hoochies, your big ace high flies. Trolling fast with a flasher. We did have a question earlier on the text toy about running a flasher with your cut plug. I would not do that.
No.
Typically with a flasher, you've got to troll fast. You've got to troll in excess of 2 miles an hour, usually 2.5, to keep that flasher rotating. Especially for coho, you want to run more like 3 miles an hour for coho. That'll tear that cut plug right off, especially with that flasher whipping around. So generally with a cut plug, you want a kidney sinker or run it off the downrigger and troll a little slower, maybe a 1.5, 1.7, to keep that thing from blowing off. Generally, if you're going to run herring off the downrigger, you're going to run a whole herring in a hood or a choked herring. So
gotcha. You take care of Robbo in the elk woods now this week.
I will.
All right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you know, the Port Everett's going to be just a beehive activity of the Everett Coho Derby. I know Harbor Marine's been open since 4 o'clock this morning. So, hey, when you're heading in there, go check out that new Dometic CFX powered cooler. You will not believe that thing. And go check out the blog I just put up at theoutdoorline.com. For Joey Pyburn, at Joey Pyburn, for Rob Bensley, I'm Tom Nelson, Matt Nelson back in the Seattle studio. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.